Before I begin, I'd like to explain a few things first. I majored in comparative religion in college and was able to go to India with a professor and some other classmates of mine, and we spent 2 months there. And on our way out, we kept a journal. And the recurring phrase in my journal was life itself, life itself. And so on January 13th, 1975, we were flying out of Palm Airport, New Delhi, and my professor friend, Bruce Lawrence, wrote this in my journal. "Don, you learned to pray in India at a Muslim shrine, Deva Sharif. I didn't plan it that way. You didn't expect it that way, but it happened. Remember that religion which lives is life itself, whatever the label or the place or the excuse." In the post 9/11 era, I've told some people, during 9/11, I lived in the Washington, D.C. area, and I was drinking coffee in my backyard when I heard the plane hit the Pentagon. We lived 12 miles from the Pentagon. And at D.C., it just, people didn't know what to do. But in the post 9/11 era, Americans often see Islam as an Arabic religion. 90% of the population in Indonesia is Muslim. Pakistan has the second largest Islamic population. Third is Bangladesh, and fourth is India. Islam is often equated with terrorism, when the fact is that the essence of this religion rest on the five pillars of faith. This is as good a starting point if one wishes to understand an accurate depiction of this major world religion. And for those of you that are a little bit sophisticated around this, I've purposely made this simple. Just as a point that this isn't a major religion and we misunderstand it terribly. The Arabic word for Islam simply means submission. Now I'll back up again. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, this is really one continuous tradition. It's the religion of Abraham. And of course the Muslims with the Christians, you're heretics, that Trinity thing. This is monotheism and stuff. So there's always, but the Arabic word simply means submission. And of the three traditions in this tradition, Islam emphasizes God more than the other two. In fact, that's it. Anyway, so submission, and it is derived from a word meaning peace. Peace. In a religious context, it means complete submission to the will of God. The Quran, the Muslim scripture, believed to be the recorded revelations of God to Muhammad, briefly describes the five pillars of faith. Another aside, when you see the Quran printed for Muslims, that's not the real Quran. And the call to prayer and the whole, it's very musical and it's believed to be the voice of God that Muhammad heard, you see. So the Arabic proper name for God is Allah. The word Allah refers to the same God as the God of the Jews and the Christians. The first statement is an affirmation of monotheism. There is no God but God. The second statement distinguishes Muslims. Muhammad is the messenger of God. Although he is the messenger and the final seal of God's revelations, Muslims believe Muhammad to be a mere human being. And to become a Muslim, it is only necessary to say these words with sincere conviction. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. And another aside, of the three traditions, and this may seem counter, but of the three traditions, Islam is the most democratic. There are no ministers or priests. There is an imam but there is no clergy, you see. It's very democratic. The second pillar of Islam is the prayer Muslims perform 5 times each day. Thus, the prayer practice binds the Islamic community together across the ages and across the globe. The leader's actions serve as the pattern for a series of standings, bowings, prostrations, and sittings that make up the prayer practice. All eyes are directed straight ahead, with the entire congregation facing the direction of Mecca. Now try this on for size. Daily prayer is at dawn, at noon, mid-afternoon, sunset, and evening. Now imagine that much religion in your life. Muslims gather in mosque for weekly worship in the early afternoons on Fridays. This practice arose because Friday was the weekly market day in the time of Muhammad. People from the surrounding area were available to attend services. Large mosques have 3 religious leaders: the leader of the prayer, the preacher who delivers the Friday sermon, and the person who calls the people to prayer. Smaller congregations combine these roles into 1 or 2 persons. Traditional Muslims frown on any use of music in religious rituals. Only the Sufi Muslims, the mystics of Islam, who I adore, have developed rituals involving singing, musical instruments, and dance. And the tension between the Orthodox and the Sufis is real. All Muslims, however, share the daily prayer practice. It is part of their spiritual discipline. The third pillar of Islam is the religious obligation to give money to support the poor, the debtor, and the stranger. This is not considered optional charity. It is an obligation to serve God. To give money to the less fortunate is to worship God, is the thinking. In Muhammad's lifetime, this developed into an Islamic welfare system in which those with more income shared with those who did not have enough. In the Islamic world today, modern secular states have replaced the traditional sharing of wealth with taxation and welfare systems. And as we heard with the kids, the fourth pillar of Islam is the fast. During Ramadan, from dawn to dark, Muslims may not eat, drink, take medicine, or engage in sex. The list continues. No indecent talk or gossip or slander or anything else that would cause anger or grief to anyone. In the evening, Muslims can eat and enjoy marital relations. Before dawn, you can eat a meal for the day. The rules of Ramadan excuse the ill, children, and the aged from the fast. Now, Muslims borrow the idea of a fast from the Jewish tradition of a fast on the Day of the Atonement. The fifth and last pillar of Islam is the great pilgrimage to Mecca. This is the only pillar that is not absolutely obligatory. Muslims should travel to Mecca only if they're physically able and can afford it. In recent times, more than 2 million Muslims make the pilgrimage to Mecca each year. Each pilgrim dons a white seamless garment to hide any differences in status and wealth. Pilgrims experience the thrill of seeing, hearing, and meeting fellow believers of all races and languages and cultures. According to Islamic tradition, Mecca is where Adam and Eve lived and where Abraham and his son Ishmael built the first house of worship. It is also where Muhammad often prayed. The essence of this world religion is contained in the five pillars of Islam. Let's review them. The first is to sincerely say these words: there is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. Second is to pray five times each day. Third is the religious obligation of giving money for support of the poor, the debtor, the stranger. Fourth is the obligation to fast during Ramadan. Fifth is the religious obligation to make the pilgrimage to Mecca. Together, the five pillars form a spiritual discipline that is Islam. I leave you with the poet Kabir, a 15th century Indian from India, son of a Muslim weaver. Inside this clay jug, there are canyons and pound mountain and pine mountains and the maker of canyons and pine mountains. All seven oceans are inside and hundreds of millions of stars. The acid that tests gold is there and the one who judges jewels. And the music from the strings no one touches, the source of all water. If you want to know the truth, I will tell you the truth. Friend, listen, the God whom I love is inside. Our benediction is again from Rumi. I am water. I am the thorn that catches someone's clothing. There's nothing to believe. Only when I quit believing in myself did I come into this beauty. Day and night I guarded the pearl of my soul. Now in this ocean of pearling currents, I've lost track of which was mine.